Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way, and Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe, on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Just a couple of guys sitting around talking travel.
I keep thinking about that mountain lion sneaking up on old dude sitting in his hot tub.
Hot tub with his wife.
Just chilling. Good evening in Colorado. Probably good hot tub weather. And then just the mountain lion just starts gnawing on your head.
The two people in my life who enjoy when animals attack stories more than anyone I know are... Well, actually, it'd be a tie for number one between my two sons. They love them, when animals attack stories, Andy and Jason do. And then the other one would be you. Love those when animals attack stories.
See, you have you two people in your life, though, me, myself, and your good friend George Dunham. We're both on the same page when it comes to animals doing human-like activities.
Yeah. But, my kids, even my daughters, like those animal. My daughters really like when animals do weird stuff, like you mentioned, almost human
like
things.
Like I envision a scenario where the mountain lion like saw a grill and wanted to make him like something on the hibachi.
Yeah.
And attacked the guy so he could just go back inside and then he's got the hibachi to himself. Yeah.
Working himself some shrimp on the Barbie and some chicken there. Okay, I get you. So anyway, but no, we were talking about. And then somebody else on the Specs text line that we leave open for you, certainly, at 337-3776. We try
There's
to be responsive.
There's only like two people that we block from the Specs text line.
Yeah, and I don't like doing that. I mean, you
got to do something. To get blocked, you got to do something.
It's got to be something really profane and pretty bad. I mean, like the angry text about women's basketball, never would block a person like that.
No.
It might counsel you to just... throttle back a little bit, just kind of take a deep breath, like you said, but would never block anybody just being angry about stuff. So here, somebody said there's a story about an exotic cat stuck in a tree that was rescued and tested positive for cocaine. We had that last week.
Yep.
We had that. So, there's, it's stuff like that. So it would have been more interesting, says Stoner, if it was a cougar stuck up on the that snuck up on the hot tub couple.
Okay. Craig, were hot tubs a thing when you were in college? Or was that not quite? Were you?
It was right after that when it really started to ratchet up.
So you wouldn't have gone hot tubbing back in your college days?
No.
Cameron, did you ever do any hot tub adventures in college?
I had some friends who had hot tubs at their house, though. So not during college, during, spring break, fall break, et cetera.
That's what you do in San Marcos, Craig. You just cause a ruckus at a hot tub till you get kicked out, and then you go find another one and get kicked out of that one. And you just keep going until either
you find one that works for you.
Out of hot tubs or you run out of hours in the nighttime when it's about 3 or 4 in the morning.
That's how they roll down in Hays County.
Yeah. There's a lot of hot tubs in San Marcos. I would figure because it's Texas, there's not a lot of hot tubs around.
No, because the best time to go hot tub is in the wintertime.
That's when folks do it.
It's when you do it, but I will caution. Yeah. That was one of the sickest I've ever been in my life was after a nice round of hot tubbing. Yeah.
There's several people who are saying, I believe a cougar and a mountain lion are the same thing. I think Stoner's point was he was trying to go with that different kind of cougar. I don't think he was talking about the big cat. So somebody said, Craig, don't block me, please. Hello, go Horns. We're not going to do that. Like I said, we don't usually do that. So somebody said, Craig, assuming the streaming rights you talked about also apply to the football season. Not really. Occasionally you get a bowl game that does that, but not in the regular season. Regular season, you can listen online at texassports.com. You can go to the Horn app and it'll be redirected to it. So you can do that to listen on your phone. You can go to the Horn app and then there's There's an icon there that tells you how to listen to Texas football and basketball games and things of that nature. So, so glad you didn't block me for my samples.
Jim and Lago Vista's good people.
Yeah, yeah. So Georgia local radio hasn't quite made it into the 21st century yet. Need my Longhorn picks. Okay. put the table in the hot tub makes it easier to play dominoes. So there you go. Were either you guys a dominoes guy? I'm not a native Texan.
You know what?
I remember my grandparents having them, but we almost never played them.
It's only in the last couple of years that I've taken a liking to dominoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John in the Bay says nothing beats Josh Rosen having a hot tub in his dorm room at UCLA.
That, yeah,
he went full on Rodney Dangerfield.
I forgot
on
about that. Yeah,
did that as well. Yeah, and then somebody said, "Ask any updates on Rory? She did injure her leg a little bit. She was at the post game press conference and said it was sore, it was hurting. She said I've had some issues with it during the year. She did, and when she missed games earlier in the season, like the first matchup with Louisville." She said, but it'll be all right. It's just going to take – she said, I'm sure they'll take a look at it, but hopefully she'll be okay.
You know, speaking of Josh Rosen is the reason why I have to have a lot of caveats when I do a player comparison.
Yes.
Because when I was down at the Under Armour game, Josh Rosen, the year he was supposed to be there, he opted out of the game or didn't show up or whatever. I forget what the case was. But I heard some folks in my industry talking about Josh Rosen – and Troy Aikman's name came up, and I said, that was the first time I said, whoa. Talking about a number one overall draft pick, a Super Bowl MVP, a Hall of Famer. Like, Josh Rosen hasn't done anything to warrant any kind of comparison to Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me being a Cowboys fan.
No, you're right. No, those were prophetic words. He did finish the season on an NFL roster, didn't he?
I think it was with Tampa.
Yeah.
Maybe on Tampa's practice squad.
Yeah.
I'll check that out. That's in my head. That sounds right.
I was thinking that he had. Of course, now Baker Mayfield is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. So you have that going on. Somebody said, hey, Jeff, I may have missed it, but how's the O-line looking in football? We'll do that in the notebook coming up. We'll add that to the total in the notebook.
Texter, when we come back from the break before we do the notebook, send that text again just so it's top of mind.
Somebody asked me, test, am I blocked? No, you're not blocked. It's okay. I said, Trey blocked me once for calling him out on his conspiracy theories. Well, we have very few conspiracy theories, and we won't block you for that.
If Craig just read your text, that means you're not blocked.
Yeah.
I think Trey and BK blocked a lot of people on the Specs text line during their show.
I'm telling you.
They were later told, don't do that.
Don't do that. With the folks Wags has run through here on Sundays, if the FBI ever raided this building, they're starting with that computer Cameron's on, and I don't want to know what they might find on it.
Okay. Catch Wags with that fantasy show on Sunday mornings for an adventuresome time.
Can you imagine what Sam Pika's searching when he's back there? Like I said, the stuff you start thinking about and you don't want to know.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Your brain's just going to take you a lot of down a road you'd rather not go down.
Somebody else said, I got an inflatable hot tub from Walmart for $200. It stays at 104 degrees and is perfect for the Texas winters. Wow, and you did that
an
from
Walmart. Inflatable hot tub.
How about that? So somebody asking for Cocaine Bear reviews. We haven't seen yet. Someone else texted in and said they believe it's on Amazon Prime
now. If it's on Prime, I might watch it tonight.
Yeah.
Because AV Consultations got me that good setup in the living room.
Yeah.
Send the wife and daughter to bed. Because my wife has zero interest
in
it. This is not me doing a bit. Like, my wife is borderline disgusted with the fact that I love Cocaine Bear and want to see it. And she was even more disgusted when I said, it's probably going to be a lot like Snakes on a Plane. She's like, oh, yeah, like, that's going to make me really want to go watch it.
Yeah, good point. C. Powell says, I like it boiled, said the lion. CB asked, why is Ronnie Terry not a finalist for Naismith Coach of the Year?
Because they didn't put him on the list.
The Naismith people, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think CB's asking that rhetorically.
Yeah.
And I'd agree with you. He was, after all, the Sporting News National Coach of the Year. You'd think he'd at least be on the list. I understand Jerome Tang being on the list. He was the Big 12 Coach of the Year, and they also have advanced to the Sweet 16. There have been other coaches that made it as well, but I don't know. You'd have to ask, I guess, the people who put it
all
together.
Right. You want the list of finalists? Because I got them right here.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Jeff Capel at Pitt, Chris Collins at Northwestern, Mick Cronin at UCLA. This is 2023. Okay. Dusty May at Florida Atlantic, Matt Painter at Purdue. I don't think Matt Painter's on it. Bill Self at Kansas, Shaka Smart at Marquette, Jerome Tang at K-State. This does have Rodney Terry as a finalist.
CB, check your list again.
Rodney Terry of Texas.
Finalist, not semifinalist.
This says finalist.
CB, check your list.
Oh, no, this is semifinalist.
CB,
my bad.
Don't check your list.
I can't read.
I should know better than to doubt you, CB. Sorry about that.
Give me just a minute.
That's a semifinalist list. Yeah. In the meantime, while he looks it up, Daryl says, I'll be blocked for mentioning NASCAR's at COTA this weekend. Absolutely not. Yeah, that's been pointed. It's going to be a very, very busy weekend, clearly, with that going on and the Dell match play going on for the final time in Austin. So, and there's Longhorn baseball, Big 12 Conference opening series against Texas Tech. Going to be a very busy weekend.
All right. I got your four finalists.
Yep. So they trimmed it to four.
Yeah.
All right.
Matt Painter, Kelvin Sampson, Shaka Smart, Jerome Tang.
Don't understand how Matt Painter's on it. I know they got a one seed. I know they won the Big Ten.
Kelvin Sampson being on there makes sense?
Absolutely.
U of H probably, do they spend more weeks at number one than anybody else this year?
I think so. Well, either them or Bama. Close. Nate Oates not on that list.
Nate Oates not on that list.
Shaka
won the Big East regular season and tournament.
Yep.
And then we know what Jerome Tang did in the Big 12.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So. But we're in agreement. The other three, I don't have a problem with. I think Roddy should be there instead of Matt Painter. Purdue was the preseason favorite in the Big Ten anyway.
Yeah.
And they followed through on that, and they won. And then they went out in the first round. So, you know, I don't know when those ballots got cast. Was it before the tournament started?
Well, the semifinalists were released on March 10th.
Okay, so that's conference tournament championship weekend.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see
it. If the ballots were to be turned in before Purdue played on Friday, that might make more sense. If they were due by like Sunday, how do you put that guy in as a finalist?
I don't know. Hey, by the way, do you know who the sponsor is, Craig, for the Naismith Coach of the Year?
Tell me.
Warner Ladders.
Yeah, because they're a big sponsor of the NCAA tournament. That's the ladder they use to cut down the nets.
Yeah, you hear Jim Nance. And they're cutting down the nets with their Werner ladder, and they flashed the Werner logo.
Absolutely. When I do the Westwood One broadcast, we have a reader, a drop-in, where you really Werner ladders. Absolutely. So, yeah.
I guess if you're paying enough for the sponsorship, you got to get the sponsor.
Yeah. So somebody else enjoying our show. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. John in the Bay says, need to be careful. There's hot tubs in the house, like when Kramer took the power down in the whole building and caused the runner to miss the New York City Marathon. That's true.
Hot tub time machine?
Yeah. My buddy has a cabin he rents out about 5 miles away from that hot tub cougar story. He recently saw, there's a cougar in his backyard, 30 inches from his hot tub, yeah. Said might be the same beast looking for some sous vide human head. So there you go. So that's it. Just checking in. I got blocked one time. Hopefully I'm not blocked anymore. You're not blocked. You're not
Craig,
blocked.
Does it it's make okay. me a huge nerd if I follow the AP style book on Twitter?
No. Okay. I don't.
Here's something interesting. You remember how one time on this show we had to use, you made the politically correct term for the homeless by its people experiencing homelessness?
That's what we're told, that is the preferred choice of phraseology, yes.
Here, check this out.
Yeah.
So AP Stylebook says, we use the term older adults or older people rather than senior citizens, seniors, or elderly as a general term when appropriate and relevant. Aim for specificity when possible. New housing for people 65 and older, an exercise program for women over 70, etc.
Okay. Well, you take note of it. In the PGA, it's no longer called the Senior Tour. It's the Champions Tour.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, perhaps that's becoming a preferred topic. So,
Look, when I get to that age, you can just call me an old F. I don't even care.
Yeah.
I'll be pretty close to death. What am I going to care anyway?
Right. Somebody said we need to have a day where Jeff is in charge of the music. Hmm? Yeah. Well, we leave that to our producer.
We can do that.
In most cases. I mean, he's back there.
Cameron asks for my input from time to time.
Yeah. So somebody else would recommend not Googling cougar on hot tub. Yeah, probably so. Hey, somebody considering what it is, says the texter, I thought Cocaine Bear was great. It was nothing like what I expected. My wife even thought it was funny, and she had zero expectations. Of course.
Yes.
Of course, she was drinking, he adds. So,
dude,
yeah.
Like, if you're going to Cocaine Bear expecting to see, like, Citizen Kane,
yeah,
you're going to be disappointed.
You're not going to see the King's Speech.
It's,
when you go there, which is one of my all-time favorite movies.
I watch Cocaine Bear for the same reason I watch pro wrestling. Every now and then, I just want to suspend my disbelief and watch something that has no meaning and no bearing, and you can just take it for what it is.
The Daniel Day-Lewis portrayal of Lincoln in the movie Lincoln, yeah. That's one of my favorites. But that wouldn't keep me from watching Cocaine Bear.
Right.
You know. So can you give us the breaking news sounder if we've got some breaking news? Yeah. Go ahead.
Fresh off of Drew Locke's Twitter, him and Tom Herman have squashed the beef, guys. Playing golf together today.
How about that?
All right. Well, good for them.
Any truth to the rumor that Coach Herman was playing the round of golf wearing a backpack? No, never mind. Never mind that. Doing that.
So secure the bag is officially...
Yeah.
Squashed a beef.
Drew Locke is wearing a backpack in this picture they took together. So.
I love it. See, I like that.
And they're actually doing the hand signal too.
Oh,
they're
doing the whole deal. Yeah.
This is perfect.
This is good. See? We can all learn to get along. Captain
Caveman. Well, look at that.
Yeah. Captain Caveman says Cocaine Bear was awesome. I was expecting a Sharknado type of movie, but was pleasantly surprised how much I laughed. That's the Elizabeth Banks influence.
Yeah. By the way, I did not mean that pro wrestling has no meaning. I don't need Mark Henry coming down here and strangling me. So
yeah, you are the other than Suplex 2, you're the biggest proponent. You and Chad in this building.
And Chad and I have discussed like Stu is on a whole different level.
Yeah.
I'm on a little bit of a different level than Chad, but. The gap between Chad and I is nowhere near the Grand Canyon-sized chasm between myself and
I understand
Suplex
that.
Stu.
Sand Trap Stu this week, guys.
Oh, yeah, he's Sand Trap Stu
this weekend out at Del Match Play. Bizarro Dale Dudley asks, should I get some Coke to watch Cocaine Bear? Asking for a friend. Coca-Cola? All right. Said, wait, Cocaine Bear isn't up for an Academy in 2024. It's a conspiracy. See what I did there? Brian in Georgia. Yeah. The Oscar award stuff hasn't been announced yet. And our good friend Tom McKay of Audiovisual Consultation says, I've heard chunks of the show today. I eat like a 15-year-old and will not stop. Cocaine Bear is awesome. I saw it twice on the big screen. John Wick opens this weekend, and I'm flying to Boston for it. That's our man, Tom. Hey, Tom. Ease up on Camilla being a Boston Bruins fan. I know you're a Dallas Stars honk. The Bruins are on a record pace to win more games and score more points than any team in NHL history. Now, it's all not going to mean a hill of beans if they don't win the Stanley Cup.
Now,
and hopefully my Carolina Hurricanes can take them out.
Tom says some of that in jest. I know he enjoys a nice steak every now and then.
He does.
At a quality steakhouse.
Yeah, he does. But he probably eats like a 15-year-old,
too. I'm sure.
He probably does like what my son Jason did. I told the story when we were driving to North Carolina, and I look over, we stop. It was in Kentucky at a truck stop, and I got some water, and I got something really healthy to eat, and I'm driving down the highway, and I look over at him, and he's crushing a bag of jalapeno corn nuts and washing it down with a Mountain Dew Code Red. And I thought, wow.
Might as well have gone ahead and gotten boiled peanuts while he was at it.
Ugh, no, not going to do that. Not going to do that. But we will do a Flex 30 update, and we will do a second hour Longhorn Notebook when we return with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Craig Webb and Jeff Howe, Light the Tower.
See, when you have musical offerings like this from our producer, Cam Parker, why do you even need me or Jeff Howell to make suggestions, right?
Now I might throw some Ghetto Boys on there or something.
A little reggae working here this morning. There we go.
Maybe a little DMX to wake everybody up.
Oh, yeah. That would do the trick. This is Light the Tower. Our man CB says Keanu Reeves was in Austin for South by Southwest promoting John Wick 4. He was.
Yeah. Did any of the listening audience think you just heard that sneeze I just had?
I could barely hear it.
Yeah. I'm a violent sneezer, I think. That's what my wife has told me. I sneeze violently. I've been told I'm a violent whenever I vomit on rare occasions.
Mm.
I've been told I'm a violent vomiter.
Yeah.
That it sounds, because I scream vomit, so it sounds horrific.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody else does that.
Yeah. Suppressing the vomit there. You know, they used to call the exit portals in a stadium vomitoriums?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably for the best that they changed that, though.
Yeah. And there's still a term that's used in college athletics when they're going back through on the report of so-and-so arrested for public intoxication. So-and-so was, we had 15 people escorted from the stadium for unruly behavior, 3 arrested for public intoxication, and there were 6 rainbow spills. That's someone losing it. It's classified as a rainbow spill.
Tossing your cookies?
Yeah, a rainbow spill. So just keep that in mind. Somebody said they missed the notebook earlier. We're about to get one coming up here in a moment, but right now, first, we have our Flex 30 update.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
Yesterday we did the Westlake update. It's still down to one dude, and now it's only one person because that's Brock Cunningham, because Shea Holly and the Texas women were taken out last night.
In the men's tournament, so for local products, you got Brock.
Yep.
You got Dylan Dessou.
Yep.
You got Jamal Shedd.
Yep.
Is that it?
I think so.
If I'm missing anybody,
we'll
if
check
I'm missing
it again.
Somebody.
We'll check the Sweet 16 rosters and see if we're missing anybody. But I think that. And so we'll do that in a moment. I asked you yesterday, you got anything on your schedule? No, because you're kind of, well, you're splitting it because you got some golf working this weekend, don't you, Cam?
Yeah, match play all week back at the Diamond Friday night for Stony Point.
Round Rock against Stony Point, right?
Well, they do play at Stony Point tonight for their fourth district game of the season.
Okay. All right. So looking forward to that. All right. So there it is. There's your Flex 30 update for today. Somebody checked in from on the text line saying that, you know, when we were talking about the vomitoriums, it was called that from the old gladiator battles in Rome where people would literally vomit in those areas. That's true. Because in those really Caligula-esque periods where they would just eat themselves into that vomitous state, throw up and then go back to eating again. I think we've said the word vomit enough today on the show, just saying. Anyway, so I said the women's game yesterday caused a rainbow spill. Just Kyle Daddy. So there you go. If you can't have humor. Someone said, I missed the note. Oh, it was John in the Bay. We said, any chance we can chat about Hudson's update on...
That'd be Hudson Standish.
On 247 about Cam Williams possibly moving inside.
Yep.
And how that affects the depth chart and what that could look like come fall potential portal entries. That also goes to the other person asking about the O-line.
Well, let's go ahead and hit it right now.
Let's do it right now.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
It's a Longhorn Notebook brought to you by Aaron Bowersock, your home loan expert, your Longhorn lender. Check her out on the web at bowersockteam.com.
So Hudson Standish, my colleague at Horns 24/7, mentioned yesterday that Cam Williams, through practices, has been working some at guard and running with the ones. I would say this. So when I was out there today, we didn't see that because when the O-line goes through individual, it's mainly just fundamentals. It's footwork, it's hands placement. Kyle Flood's always doing something in the individual for like just fundamentals and technique. But I'm told that not just Cameron Williams, but this is he's doing a lot of cross training right now, Kyle Flood is. Just getting a look at guys in different spots, planning on different scenarios. So I don't think it affects the depth chart that much. And you talk about portal moves, I'm assuming you mean the guys going into the portal. I mean, with the offensive line, to me it's way too early for some of those guys to know where they stand. Like, take a look at the guys that didn't play a lot last year, right? Like, DJ Campbell's going to get his shot right now with Cole Hudson out. I mean, you still got Cole Hudson there. Connor Robertson
sure.
Probably going to be is going to have a chance when he gets healthy to be your backup center. You know, Malik Ogbo, Nato Meazulu, they're getting plenty of reps right now. And then the rest of them are the true freshmen, which a lot of those guys probably knew they weren't going to play mm-hmm. right away. So I don't think you're going to have just this abundance of offensive linemen hit the transfer portal just because there's a lot of numbers there. I think what you're probably looking at is at the end of the fall, that would be my guess would be when you're going to see if you see O-line attrition. Not to say you won't see it after spring ball, but I think some of those,
that's where it would normally
some of those
come in.
Big names that realize, okay, now I'm going into year two, going into year three, and I'm buried on the depth chart, and I don't see it getting any better, or whatever the case is, I think at that point you would see some guys start to move on.
Okay. All right.
So that's just where things are with the offensive line. But, you know, that group, it started, you know, you can see the makings of a group that should be one of the better offensive lines in the Big 12. And I'm not just talking about because you return a lot of starts up front. You return everybody that started last year. But you look at the strides Kelvin Banks continues to make. People forget about Kelvin Banks. Like, he's not a finished product. He played really well as a true freshman and exceptionally well for a true freshman. But he's still got development. There's still development mm-hmm. that has to go on there.
Sure.
You know, Christian Jones was a late bloomer in football. Didn't play football until his junior year of high school. He's still got some developing to do. I think Jake Majors, it's more physical development. I'll tell you this, Craig, and not just because I've seen him on the practice field, but there was a basketball availability 2 weeks ago where I was leaving Moody Center and mm-hmm. he was walking into the parking garage. I don't know that anybody – and I'm talking about the offensive line recruits that I've covered at Texas. I don't know that anybody has worked harder or done a better job to reshape their body from the time they committed to the program to like being in it in year three than Hayden Connor's done.
Yeah.
Just an unbelievable body transformation he's gone through. Put in a lot of work. So the upside with him is really high. I think he's one of your better run blockers. Talked about DJ Campbell and Cole Hudson. So I think there's still a lot of stuff to be determined. And plus, if I'm one of those backup offensive linemen, I know this. Texas got through through last season basically only using DJ Campbell as a replacement for the Baylor game when Cole Hudson got hurt. It's basically the only time you really needed to go to your bench for a backup offensive lineman. It's very, very, very rare that a college offensive line goes through all 13 games with the same five starters playing 95% of the snaps through the season. So chances are you're going to need some of those backup guys. And I think that's why I said I think some of those guys will stick it out because, hey, if so-and-so gets hurt, I might have an opportunity to, you know, get a job and then you think you don't relinquish it. So whatever, still plenty of time for everything to sort itself out on the offensive line. Like I said, I wouldn't assume just this glut of attrition is going to happen.
Okay. All right.
And a lot of people wanted to reset what I talked about in the first notebook. I went into it more in depth. You can get that at hornfm.com when it posts. Cam, is that posted yet? First hour notebook?
It is. Hornfm.com.
Okay. Hornfm.com. Go check it out. Malik Murphy, full participant while we were out of practice today during our media viewing window. Jonathan Brooks, back as a full participant coming off that hernia surgery. Isaiah Nair went through a few drills. Haven't seen him do that yet, so that's hugely positive. Keelan Robinson's still out. Jalen Catalan's still out. I don't think we'll see much of Jalen Catalan at all this spring. I'm not expecting it.
How much did you get to see of C.J. Baxter?
A little bit. Chip Brown, my colleague, Chip watched more of the running backs and quarterbacks than I did. I was watching more offensive line receivers and trying to see what I could see him with the defensive guys. Mm-hmm. But he looks the part. I mean, he's a good-looking joker, man. That's the way that if you're building a running back, that's the way you want them to look when they're a freshman.
Yeah, yeah. And to have the full-bodied look, the thickness that he has, still quite shifty and quite fast.
Yeah, just stick a foot in the ground, get vertical, and he can go.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, these guys, a lot of these guys haven't been in scrimmage situations, which is going to start happening this week. But, yeah, I really like the makeup of this backfield. Even losing the two guys you lost, it's still a backfield that's got a lot of talent, and it's got some versatility still. I just wonder, you know, going back to what we talked about in the first hour with receiver, I'll get into this with Rod and Matt on Longhorn Blitz, which we're going to record after we're off the air. I wonder, you know, I'm trying to figure out what the identity of this offense is going to be, because the identity of the 2022 offense, it ended up being Roshan and Bijan. That was your identity.
Sure.
I wonder, though, I feel like the identity, and we've talked about, you know, position versatility and multiplicity and positionless football and all that stuff. We talked about that on the Blitz. And I would love it if Sark went there. But I think the identity of this offense, Craig, I've got a feeling like it's shaping up to where it's going to be perimeter skill talent, just perimeter playmaking, and throw the running backs and JT Sanders into that group too.
Right.
Perimeter playmaking, but at the same time, the offensive line needs to be up to snuff, because we know Sark wants to play with a physical edge.
Sure.
We know he wants to run the football. And his offense works much better when you can run the football. You know, you get into all your RPOs and your play action stuff, and that's when you can take your shots and everything else.
Sure.
I just wonder how that balance is going to come. No, I don't mean it like a pass to set up the run type deal, but how much versatility do you have to have in your running game? How dynamic does that running game need to be in terms of your calls? When you had Roshan and Bijan, you could just call inside zone, outside zone, and those guys could do the rest.
Right.
You might need to have more gap schemes for this group. You might need to have more stuff where it's counter type stuff, where you pull in more guys. You might just need to do that not necessarily for this offensive line, but to help out your running backs, to carve them out more of a design path. Very rarely do you get two guys like that in this day and age that just have natural feel as runners like those two guys. So I think you're just going to have to bring more diversity to your run game with the backs you've got. And hopefully you've got the offensive line now to do it.
You're on record as saying last hour that the most indispensable player right now is JT Sanders.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
I would put him number one.
Okay.
Kelvin Banks, number two.
Okay.
I would probably, if we're including the whole team, I'd probably go Jalen Ford at three.
Okay.
I think Jalen Ford's that important.
Yeah, no doubt.
Those would be my top three.
Okay. Yeah. There's our Longhorn Notebook. As we get ready to head into our final break here, just looking at a really uncomfortable shot. I mean, Rick Pitino was introduced as the head coach at St. John's, and he was there at the podium. He looks happy enough, but he was there with a priest. It was there from Father something or other from St. John's. Father, I handle basketball. You know, that deal. Him and Val Ackerman, the Big East commissioner, and they all looked rather, and the athletic director, and they all looked rather uncomfortable, except for Pitino. He looked quite comfortable.
Yeah.
So he's now at St. John's. Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. We'll be back to wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower on the Horn. Going to wrap it up for today's program. I'll be out tomorrow traveling to Kansas City. Then you'll hear me from Kansas City on Thursday when Jeff is traveling to Kansas City.
I'm not going to promise a Cocaine Bear review tomorrow. I'm just saying.
There's a chance of it?
There's a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance? Okay.
Maybe slightly better than the odds that Mary gave Lloyd.
Okay. Okay. Very good. All right. Thanks to our man behind the glass, our producer Cameron Parker. And, of course, for my co-host Jeff Howe, I'm Craig Wade. Thank you for joining us. Jeff will be on with you tomorrow. I will be on from Kansas City on Thursday morning. Hopefully we'll both be on Friday. We'll see how all that shakes down as well. Stay tuned. Chad and Zay are up next. And we'll visit with you next time on Light the Tower.